If I held up a picture of Uncle Sam and asked what country he symbolized, everyone here would say the United States. If I held up a picture of a hammer and a sickle and asked what country this symbolized, everyone here would say Russia. Even if I held up a picture of a maple leaf and asked what country this symbolized, many of you would say Canada. But if I held up a picture of a grapevine and asked what country it symbolized, probably many of you would not know. Now, if you happen to be a collector of old coins, you might know because the country was once stamped a grapevine on all of its coins. And if you happen to be an archaeologist or a student of archaeology, you might know because the country used the grapevine to decorate its buildings. Finally, if you happen to be a biblical scholar or have studied the Bible, you might know because the Bible often uses the grapevine to symbolize the country. And that country you have probably guessed by now is Israel. Consider two examples of how the Hebrew Bible used the vine to symbolize Israel. In Psalm 80, the psalmist prays to God in these words concerning Israel. O Lord of hosts, you brought a vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it. It took deep root and filled the land. Here the psalmist is remembering how God led the slaves out of Egypt into the promised land. And also note who was doing the planting. Certainly not the slaves. It was God who was doing the planting back then, and it is God who continues to do the planting in us today. In the book of the prophet Isaiah in chapter 5, the prophet says, "The vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his cherished plant." And so the grapevine became the symbol of ancient Israel. As time passed, however, the vine that God planted in the land of Israel started producing rotten fruit. This was because the people had turned away from God. This caused God to say of Israel through the prophet Jeremiah, "I planted you as a choice vine from the purest stock. How then did you turn degenerate and become a wild vine?" In time, after having sent the prophets, God sent his own son Jesus to God's people. We hear Jesus' word in today's gospel reading. "I am the true vine. You are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit." God is still the vine grower, but Jesus is now the vine while we are the branches. If we wish not to start bearing rotten fruit, we need to abide in Jesus. Now, what does this mean? I looked this word abide up in the dictionary and came up with these meanings. Endure without yielding. To bear patiently. To remain stable. To continue in place. As I read widely preparing for this sermon, I found other definitions that I think are more helpful. To abide is to remain, to reside, to take residence in, to immerse ourselves totally, to be bonded, even to be rooted. Now, we might think that it's impossible to immerse ourselves totally in anything, as we are far too busy to ever have time for this. So perhaps it might help to take stock of our lives and look at just how we do spend our time. How much time do we spend checking our smartphones? Constantly, for some of us, even in the company of friends. It is as though we are always fearful that we might miss out on something important. Some of my grandchildren are of the age where they are being given their first smartphone. As I drive them to choir practice, I suddenly realize that there is no longer any conversation going on in the back, as all their heads are buried in their phones. And how much time do we spend watching TV, especially when we resort to binge-watching our favorite programs? How much time do some of us spend at work, or on sports, or at the casino? And I could go on and on. We kid ourselves if we think that those things that we immerse ourselves in are not affecting us, shaping us, even transforming us. The proof of our shaping is all around us. That which we value, which we choose to spend our time doing, the activities that we engage in, all speak of the things that captivate our hearts. That is really where we are abiding. And what fruit is this providing? Some of it even becomes an addiction. It has produced by then rotten fruit. The next question is, are we allowing ourselves to abide or to become rooted or immersed in Jesus? And we will ask, is there even time for this? What does it mean to immerse ourselves in Jesus? Firstly, it means making time to be with Jesus through prayer, Bible study, and worship. Perhaps we have tried this and found it difficult to maintain on our own. It may help to note that Jesus' instructions were not only given to the disciples individually, but more importantly, given to them all together as a whole in what is called Jesus' last farewell discourse. In the Gospel of John, Jesus knows that he is about to be killed and so will soon have to leave them. Imagine all the disciples sitting around the table, participating in the Passover meal, which for the Christians became eventually the Last Supper. Jesus is addressing them collectively as the group who are going to carry on his ministry after his death. Jesus is certainly not expecting any one of the disciples to be able to do this on his own. We in Western culture focus much more on the individual rather than the community. So it's hard for us to grasp that this idea of how we live our lives, focusing primarily on oneself, would have been very foreign to people of Jesus' day. In their culture, the individual submitted to the group. But what was important to them was the community, not the individual. So this is an additional challenge for us today. We highly value independence, self-sufficiency, not needing anyone else, even God. That is, until we lose control of the situation, But Jesus reminds us in the gospel lesson that if we are to call ourselves Christians and bear fruit, we must remain connected to Jesus' vine. We are just one of the many branches that make up the grapevine. As Gail O'Day says, and I quote, "In a vine, branches are almost completely indistinguishable from one another. It is impossible to determine where one branch stops and another branch starts. All run together as they grow out of the central vine." With this image, there is certainly no hierarchy, no status. Everyone is equal, and his or her responsibility is the same: to bear good fruit. That is, to love God and to love one's neighbor as oneself. We are in community on the vine with all with whom we would come into contact. Our downtown neighbors, those who live in lofts, and those who are homeless or mentally ill, refugees, prisoners, and the lonely and the unloved. We are all there together on the vine as one community, loved by God, the vine grower. Now, I would not blame you if you felt that being in community with so many people who are so different from yourself was to be an almost impossible task. And for an individual, it can be. But remember, God calls us to be in community with one another, loving and supporting each other through the joyous times and the difficult times. I know that when I am going through a difficult time, there are others of you here at Christ Church Cathedral's community who will pray for me and uphold me, just as I will pray for you in your times of need. This is actually what our prayer fellowship does daily for each other and for all the people and situations that are brought to our attention. Jesus said, "Apart from me," and I would add the church, "you can do nothing, and with me you will bear much fruit." Today, all of us have an opportunity to be more connected to Jesus through this faith community. Take some time to look at the many ministries that others here are passionate about. Make the effort to find a place, the place where God may be calling you to become involved, so that you too can experience more fully what it means to remain a branch on Jesus' vine that bears much fruit. I know how hard it is to be a Christian in isolation. We were never meant to be on this journey alone. So I give thanks for this community here at Christ Church Cathedral that has welcomed me into your midst and is waiting to welcome each one of you. Perhaps it is for the first time, or perhaps we are being called to immerse ourselves more into a more deeper experience of the richness that can be found as we live out our lives together in community. Today, our lives produce much fruit for God's kingdom.